Here we are. Are we live? We're live. Are we live in living color on YouTube? Is this what we're doing? What's up, everybody? How is it going? We got Javier Haas and Elliot Lane here with Benzinga's Cannabis Insider Show. Javi, how are you, man?
Doing great. Doing great. I don't know if you knew this, but today is my birthday.
You know, we need a friggin' calendar or something. This is crazy. How do I not know that today is like one of my favorite people in the world's birthday? You are, because you're professional, but I'm just saying it's your birthday, man. So how old are you?
It's not a matter of professionalism, actually. You know, some people work, like, can function perfectly when they're high. I don't enjoy it. I can do it, but it's like, for me, cannabis is a moment of relaxation, of enjoyment, disconnecting, winding down. So sometimes I would write, after consuming a little bit, and it was interesting, but I just get distracted. I don't know. Just doesn't work for me.
Fair enough, man. Honestly, I'm the same way. I can't function nearly as well when I'm intoxicated of any sort. It has nothing to do with cannabis or specifically alcohol, anything like that, man. I'm not witty enough for that.
Thank you, Wendy. So here's something interesting, actually, from an email I got the other day. I think it was from Grasslands Agency. They provide their team members, their employees, with a monthly cannabis stipend because it's not covered by health insurance. So they provide a stipend for cannabis to their employees.
Grasslands?
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Okay. I don't know. I'm torn, honestly. I think it's a little weird, if I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's very friendly to the industry, and they need to be friendly to the industry, as do we. But I don't need a cannabis stipend from my employer, right? Unless it's for, I get it if it's for medical purposes, yeah. But outside, like, that's the only reason I would assume that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's bad. Do what you want. You want to help your employees out, give them a cannabis stipend, go right ahead. Sure. I'm just saying, I don't think that other companies should feel the need to follow suit.
Oh, I mean, it's a nice thing to do. I think if you are of the group of people who believes that all uses of cannabis are medicinal or therapeutic in some way, shape, or form, it makes quite a bit of sense because it's not covered by insurance. And honestly, I mean, if I'm using it to treat like anxiety or stress or sleep, even if it's not with a prescription, it still qualifies as a therapeutic application of cannabis. I don't know. I liked it. On the other hand, it's like, benefits, sometimes it's like, just pay me my salary, like pay me a better salary. With the money. Maybe I don't want like $300 a month of weed.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I don't need that much weed, honestly.
Yeah, but like at the end of the day, I mean, do they also pay for their gym memberships? Do they pay for, I don't know. I think you could take this any given way. They are a cannabis PR media agency. So it makes a ton of sense. I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. In fact, far from it. All I'm saying is that it's cool in a unique setting. Javi disagrees with me, and that's fine. We don't disagree much.
I see both sides. I don't agree or disagree. I mean, I liked to see it like done somewhere. As you said, it's not something that everyone needs to do. I think it's a nice thing to do for sure for your team members.
I don't disapprove.
I don't disapprove. That is
no. I don't disapprove either, to be fully clear. That being said, I mean, Grasslands, feel free to extend it to your partners as well. So we're here for you. Javi, man.
In Vegas, right?
Yeah, we'll see everybody. If you're in Vegas and you're watching this live, drop a one in the chat. In any chat that you're watching on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, we want to know. We would love to see you all there. We will be around the floor on Wednesday, probably some Thursday as well. Come visit us at Podcast Row early Wednesday. We'd love to meet you guys. That being said, Javier, we have an interesting guest today on the hemp side. You and I talk a lot about hemp's relation to marijuana and cannabis. And we get to dive in with an executive insight today from the hemp side. It is the CEO of Hemper.co. Very excited about that. But Javi, first and foremost, you know what we do, my friend. What's on your mind today?
This is...
Boom! Mic drop.
What happened? What happened in the elections? Some good, some bad, a little bit of everything. But as many of you might know by now, 5 states voted for or against cannabis legalization for adult use. In Arkansas, let's go one by one, right? In Arkansas, the legalization initiative failed. They didn't receive enough votes, to the surprise of a big part of the state, as polls showed something very different.
I'm not surprised with Arkansas. It was for the last month leading up, there was such an anti-marijuana campaign going from a certain party, from the Republican Party specifically. So, I mean, honestly, you could just see the lead slipping away by cannabis advocates over the last. And, you know, we followed this from Marijuana Moment, from the actual updates from the state. It was very interesting to watch, and it worked.
Yeah. Some good news out of the Eastern Seaboard, with Maryland joining a bunch of other states up there around New England who have already legalized adult use cannabis. In the case of Maryland, more than 65% of the people voted for legal weed. Beginning in July of 2023, adults of 21 years old and more will be allowed to possess up to 1.5 ounces of cannabis and 10 grams of cannabis concentrates.
Awesome. Surprise awesome for Maryland. Awesome for MariMed as well. MRMD is a big stock I'm watching for that state. Others are GTI and Curaleaf that are operating there. Anybody else you're watching to take advantage of that market, Javi?
MariMed is definitely the one that always, kind of comes to mind when people say Maryland. It's MariMed.
It goes hand in hand. Hopefully you all can get THC-infused ice cream there very soon.
Yum. Yes. I love that, man. In time for next summer.
Yes. OMG. That'd be great. All right. And then Missouri, man. Honestly, so let me preface this a little bit, and then you tell us your thoughts on Missouri. I had a good interview a while back with Steve from the managing director of Sharp Capital Advisors, an investment bank based out of Illinois in Chicago, but they're international. And he was saying that the medical market in Missouri is its downfall. There are not enough patients for the amount of competition that was currently building up. Now we see the floodgates open a little bit. Is this exactly what the market needed? What do you think, Javi?
I love it, man. I am 100% on board. One of the things that I actually liked a lot, and this is not related to the markets, but to humanity, it is the first state that will initiate automatic expungement of non-violent cannabis offenders.
Very cool. Very cool, man. So,
does it have to disappear when I click back and forth, or is it always showing up?
It's a little funky. Being said, there's two more things to call out. The Dakotas, to no surprise, voted no. South Dakota, I think, massively affected by Christy Noem, that's her name, right? And her lawsuit against cannabis. And I think that truly affected one side of the aisle in terms of not voting for it this time. That's my personal thought there. Secondly, Texas, 5 cities decriminalize marijuana in the elections. I think that is pretty massive, hopefully driving to a lower incarceration rates.
Was it Texas and Ohio, right? Also 5 cities in Ohio.
Yes, you are correct. So you're seeing some red states become more friendly, man. And you're seeing some red states not become friendly. It's a game of inches.
And you know, Colorado is always a step ahead. So while some states and cities in the U.S. were deciding on whether or not they should allow cannabis, Colorado was voting on psychedelics. And they approved an initiative to legalize and regulate psychedelics, including psilocybin, psilocin, mescaline, not derived from peyote, ibogaine, and DMT.
Interesting. I'm very interested to see who can take advantage of this. I will say, as we've seen in cannabis, first to market doesn't always mean much. Now, Colorado and California are still some of the largest cannabis markets in the world. But how quality are those markets? I think there's a lot of argument and debate about that. So it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully psychedelics doesn't follow that same path and goes more biotech researched route and more medically supported route, which I think is the path that they're trying to go.
Yeah.
That being said, Javi, you have 3 minutes.
I don't need them. I just need a couple.
You're not doing a review?
Oh, are we doing a review? Let's do it.
We need to do it now if we're going to do it.
Let's do it. Today I'm bringing, this is a short review, something fun, another great gift that I got. Actually, I got this gift during the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Miami this year. By the way, make a note, mark your calendars. Benzinga is coming back to Miami on 2023, April 11 and 12. Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in Miami at the Fountain Blue Hotel. Go to bzcannabis.com to get all of your details. And if you're interested in psychedelics, on April 13th, we're doing our Benzinga Psychedelics Capital Conference, also at the Fountain Blue Hotel, because we really like that venue.
I mean, just go to bzcannabis.com, take a look at our past agendas. Everybody who's anybody is there. You all should be too. That being said, Javi, you're down to 2 minutes. What did you get gifted?
So there's this company called Peacemaker, and I actually always wear the flip-flops that they gave me, and this changes color when you get it wet. Maybe I can even, I think it's like a temperature thing. They change colors. Anyways.
Cool.
They make a bunch of silicone gear for cannabis, right? And I love it. It's great for travel. It's fun. For instance, this is like a little rubber duck. You put the weed in here. You can see the little stem that comes out. You put the weed here. This goes in here. And you just simply puff. You kiss the weed. How much fun is this?
That's a great incredible gift. That's the best puff and pass thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
The brand is called Peacemaker. They make everything from bongs. They make like little doggies, whatever. This one is another one that they gave me. I just unboxed this one. It's a packable silicone water pipe. Very, very cool. Again, Peacemaker.
Nice.
Love it. Fun. Awesome. Yeah. Affordable. Good for travel. Good for gifts.
Yo, let's get a Peacemaker discount code for that duck.
Yes.
Or right? Hey, Wendy Forwell wants to send you a birthday present, Javi. I'm saying, yes, man. Yeah. Zinco and Javier got to meet up in Vegas.
We'll be at the Bellagio. You can send packages there.
All right.
I'll be there until the 18th of November.
We got to make sure we meet up with everybody. That being said, we are moving on to an interview today. We have one very excited about it, Hemper.co. Their CEO, Brian Gerber, is joining us. Let's dive into what's happening in the hemp subscription space.
Hit it.
I mean, what an interesting descriptor, hemp subscription. I know you do more, Brian, and we're going to let you tell us, my friend. What is it that you do? How did you make your way into the hemp industry?
So first off, thanks for having me today. Super excited to be chatting with you guys. So it's not necessarily just hemp. So I started like a week after I graduated from college 7 years ago, a company called Hemper, which has kind of led into Hemper Box, which was a discovery outlet for paraphernalia. And you basically paid like $30 a month and you got a brand new glass piece, some cool new accessories, some odor eliminating gear, storage stuff, preparation goods, kind of you name it. It was a discovery outlet for kind of canna curious customers, right? And so we launched it 2015, June 1st. And how we kind of catapulted it off was basically we brought in guest curators, so like influencers or hip hop artists or whoever it might be, to actually curate the items in the box. And then it was like smoke like Snoop Dogg for a month, basically, kind of how we pitched it. And so that exploded the subscription box originally. And we were working with, you know, YouTubers and professional skaters and hip hop artists, EDM, you know, we've done stuff with like a lot of musicians. And, you know, we realized that, you know, all walks of life consume cannabis. So we started just targeting all these different categories. And it was really awesome that the fans got to connect with their, you know, idol or whoever, you know, they looked up to, you know, in a completely different way, kind of like they were sitting on the couch with them hanging out. Right. And so that's how we originally started. And then about a year after we launched, we realized, obviously, with subscription boxes, you know, one of the biggest challenges is just keeping it exciting, fun, and fresh. Right. And so what we started diving into was actually product development of our own. And we started developing, designing, manufacturing our own kind of stoner gadgets, if you will. And we started releasing it through the subscription box as kind of our own test market. And then we would take back that feedback that we would get from all of our subscribers. And then we would go to distribution partners and say, hey, guys, look, we just launched this product. We sold 5,000 overnight. Look at the reviews. Look at the feedback. Everyone's loving it. Put it into your retail stores. And it was really the first data-driven approach to product development in this specific industry. And that is kind of how we originally started. And so we've launched, you know, let's call it over 200 SKUs in the past 7 years. And we just got really good at manufacturing stuff. And that kind of segues into our other business, which started in 2018. We started Hara Supply, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with like the pre-roll cone shortage that was in the market during like 2018, 2019. Basically, there was only like one or two companies in the entire world producing pre-rolls. And we got this interesting opportunity because we were actually manufacturing glass already in India. And I don't know if you know, but all cones are handmade. So it's a very labor-intensive process. And so we actually set up our first facility midway through 2018. And we really wanted to kind of clean up the industry and get, you know, so we're actually the most certified manufacturer in the industry right now for pre-rolls. We're GMP, we're ISO, we're HACCP, we're FSC. All the brands in California made us get like halal, gluten-free, non-GMO, vegan, you know, kosher. So we have all of those as well. And kind of fast forwarding, you know, 4 years later, we're actually now the largest manufacturer in the world for pre-rolls. We produce on average about 100 million cones a month for the market. We produce for all the vanity brands, you know, your Jeeters, Stizzies of the world, all the way to the big tobacco guys, OCB, Raw, Zigzag. So we do a lot of stuff for them as well. And so now we're just kind of one of the main providers. You know, we deal with a lot of the MSOs. And we really just wanted to clean up the industry because the supply chain has been so fragmented, you know, during, you know, whatever COVID and, you know, even before that, right? So, you know, we're one of the few groups that, you know, really invested into the supply chain to really clean it up. And, you know, we're, you know, seeing the fruits of our labor now. So, yeah, that's pretty much the two sides of our company and how we kind of got started.
I'm interested in subscription boxes. I'm actually going to show the website a little bit. Meantime, what is the market like, right? I get the appeal. But as you said, like, what makes people want to return? Totally. And of course, keeping the product fresh is part of it. But like, what's the real market for this, right? I imagine myself, you know, subscribing. But after maybe 2 months, I got enough pipes. I got enough rolling papers. I got enough cones.
Yep.
So
basically, the way we look at it is, and we've kind of gotten away from the celebrity curated stuff and we're doing a lot more themed based boxes now. And so the way we look at it with glass and any of these themed out accessories is they've become more like sneakers, right? And just like people collect sneakers, they collect glassware. And essentially, you know, let's say on Wednesdays, you want to smoke your Chinese takeout box. On Fridays, you want to smoke your, you know, jellyfish rig, you know, you want to just show your friends. It, you know, it's all kind of fun, right? You know, if you have a group of people come over, each one can participate. It's not like everyone's hitting off the same piece. So we look at it as more collectibles and kind of like a sneaker collection at this point. So we sell, you know, a few million bongs a year through this process. And it's really kind of turned into more of a fun, creative novelty approach, as opposed to like, this all has to be function. And if it doesn't really give me a smooth hit, I don't want it. It's not really like that anymore. It's now become into more of a collectible, like an art piece.
Have you thought about a sneaker themed box? You know, here's my checkbox. Here's my three-stripe life box.
So in, I think it's sometime next year, we're coming out with like a Das Boot one. So you'll see. It's we're doing a lot of fun stuff for 23.
Very nice. So I just want to do a quick point of clarification here. Are you strictly focused on hemp? And or what type of, because you say you work with a lot of people that obviously have, you know, marijuana products. So I'm curious, to what extent do you work there?
So on the hemp side, honestly, you guys are aware of like the payment processing massacre that was occurring during like 2015 till literally today, still going on. But basically, you really couldn't process hemp products online up until maybe a couple years ago. And so we really actually stayed away from it for make most of our existence just because of the payment processing problems. In recent years, we've actually launched more of a drop shipping marketplace. So if you go on Hemper, you can see a lot of the bigger CBD brands and the Delta 8 brands. And we actually sell most of them more of just like as a market approach, not our own products specifically. But working towards hemp production and things like that, we're actually coming out with a line of hemp clothing shortly here next year. Very cool. So we are getting more into it now that the processing isn't much of an issue. But prior to about, I'd say, even last year, we weren't really playing with much hemp stuff just because we couldn't process it. And we didn't want it to jeopardize all our whole business for this one single segment.
So I guess my next question, follow-up question for you is, in terms of your business model, what is going to take you and separate you from anybody else, or what has, you know, depending on your perspective of the question? I'm just curious, you know, because it seems like you manufacture a lot, you partner a lot, you know, it seems like you're doing a lot. So I'm curious, what is the centerpiece of what you do?
So the reason why we do a lot is just look at the MSOs at this point, right? Look at what Tilray is doing with the alcohol brands. They're acquiring random stuff all over the, you know, magnitude, right? Because people are realizing that your company can't just be cannabis touching, right? They need to diversify and actually be a real business. And so for us, just like that, we have a B2C side of our company that is more CPG brand building focused, right? So one of our brands, Goody Glass, actually is getting onboarded into Urban Outfitters shortly here. So we're more approaching the mainstream marketplace on the CPG side and looking for that national distribution, right? And then that's why we're focusing on the product development, is because we're consumers ourselves. So we're producing stuff that, you know, people haven't seen before, right? We're trying to make consumption fun, functional, and affordable, right? And then on the supply side, right, for the B2B side of our business, you know, we manufacture for a lot of customers, right? So we see it from both angles. So it's really interesting approach. So we produce, you know, pre-roll cones for a lot of these MSOs and vanity brands. And so we're kind of constantly approaching it as a solutions partner on that front, where the MSO will come to us, for example, like a Curaleaf, and say, hey, we have 132 buyers for each dispensary. I need to consolidate this, and I need you to ship to every single location yourself and consolidate it to one buyer. So we come into the situation, we create a merchandising program for them, and then we basically produce the stuff, we design it for them, and then we ship it directly to each location. So we're more of a solutions partner on a manufacturing footprint on the B2B side, and we're a more CPG brand building side on the hemper side of our business. So we've realized we had to diversify into both sides of the industry to basically keep building, right? And keep growing. I mean, we've grown, last year we grew over 100%. And even in this industry right now, with pretty much everyone declining, we're growing, you know, over 20% this year. So it's the only way to stay afloat is to diversify the revenue streams.
I agree. And that was super clear, actually. I have two questions for you. The first one is, I think you caught my review. What do you think of the little ducky?
I love the little ducky. We actually have a ducky bong ourselves. I saw it.
It's a glass bong with a. Yes. It's beautiful.
Oh, and, cool.
And you know what's really interesting is we actually got a copyright on that from the USPTO trademark office for a sculpture, because we were getting knocked off left and right. And I said, hey, can we protect this somehow? So now we're actually getting IP on our glass, which is, I think we're like the first company in the world to get a trademark or a copyright on a sculpture. So that one was specifically the one we got was for the ducky.
And the other one is internationally. Do you do anything or are you just operating in the US right now? Because, I mean, there's few cannabis companies that can be really international. Only a handful of operators, and it takes a lot of money and losing a lot of money because most international markets don't drive profits nowadays. Not Europe, not Colombia, not Uruguay. And then you have like a few ancillary companies, right? I can think of, as you said, OCB and Raw are the ones that enjoy the most recognition globally, along with High Times and maybe Cookies Clothing. And not even, I mean, Cookies is more market specific.
Right.
So the only brands that people really know are like OCB and Raw, to be very honest. Zigzag, nowhere to be seen. Yeah. Of course, Cura Leaf, no one has ever heard of them outside the US, et cetera, right? So you have this opportunity. So what are you doing with it?
Totally, yes. Yeah. So I actually just came back from Germany a few weeks ago. We were at the Intertobac show, which is like the largest vape and smoke tobacco show in the world for Europe. And so we're actually breaking into the international market right now. So actually recently, in terms of Thailand, we've been getting hit up by a ton of smoke shops there to bring in our products. We're in, I think it's like 15 stores in Taiwan already, which is really interesting. We work with a couple companies out of Israel already on the pre-roll cone side. So like Tikka Olam is one of them. We work with Aurora pretty closely because they're one of the largest exporters of cannabis to Europe right now. And so that's more on the supply side. And then on the CPG brand building side, we are developing a lot of products more so in like the combustibles category under the Hemper line. And actually one of them is, which I want to show you right now, is called the Hemper Quick Hitter. And basically what this is a multi-use disposable, if I could open this, it's killing me. Oh, okay, got it. So basically what this is, we developed a one hitter that is made out of a paper straw that has a ceramic end on it and a little built-in little filter tip right there. So no Scooby snacks get in your mouth. And basically you just pack it really easily, light it. It comes two in a pack. It's $2.99 out the door for, you know, retail. And we have a flavor versions. So we have like five different flavors. And in the flavor version, we actually built like a caramel crushed cigarette crush ball. So basically you just squeeze like right here on the tip and it activates the flavor. And so basically you get like a flavor hit or these are plain versions. So this is our first forte into more like replenishable combustible products. And so this actually is really unique because it gets around a lot of the flavor bans that are going on for cigarette paper right now. And so we're developing products where a lot of the national chain C-store companies can actually bring in and they're not getting penalized on the legality side because of the flavor component. And so people are really excited about this. We just did the NAC show here in Vegas. And so we've had a ton of orders and traction. And so this is like our first, we just got into 7-Eleven this week as well. And so we're really pumping the gas on like stuff like this now. And that's what we're going to really focus on going to Intertobac next year for in Germany. We're going to have a booth there. Last year or this past 6 weeks ago, we didn't have a booth. We were just walking and meeting with clients, but next year we're actually going to have a booth there. So we're really looking at expanding internationally pretty heavily.
And then I guess just one last question for me. How long does it take to innovate some of this? I mean, just on average, I mean, you have a lot of products. So like, I'm guessing you have a part of your team that's just always working on what's next.
So right now I'm in our headquarters in Vegas. We have about 50 employees here domestically, and we have about 4,000 in India right now at about 14 different facilities. And so we actually have a full product development team sitting here in Vegas. We have five team members dedicated literally every day to that. We have multiple 3D printers, so we're rapid prototyping all day. So we're constantly coming out with new ideas and new products. And so our goal is to launch like about 30 new products a year because you don't really know what's going to hit or not. And so we test it through the subscription box. We get the feedback on that data approach. And then if it really is rocking, then we go to our distribution partners and then we go out to like retail. So for us, it's really important because, you know, you never know what's really going to stick, right? And so right now, the quick hitters are one of our main focuses right now, and it's really pumping. So that's awesome. And it takes about, on average, like, honestly, so this one took me and my creative director about 90 days to come up with. And literally, it was just us sitting in a room being like, okay, if 7-Eleven was selling a one hitter or a disposable product, what would it look like? Right. And how can we get it cheap enough for them to go mass market? Right. Mm-hmm. And so things take different time, 90 days, 6 months, but usually most development projects take between 6 months and a year, let's say.
Very cool. Actually, before we close it up, we're a little bit over time, but I wanted to show you another cool Latin American product. I don't know. I'm always just for clarity, disclosure here. None of these companies or products I'm showing are sponsoring these segments at all. I'm just going to show you something that I think is very cool and Americans haven't seen it yet. It's this Argentine brand called Coconauts. I think they're disembarking in the U.S. very soon. And they make these like three, I remember because you said 3D printing and I was like, oh yeah, these guys are actually printing, 3D printing grinders and other stuff like that, like rolling boxes and stuff like that. And it's super fun.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think, but it's, I just wanted to show you. I thought it would be fun to like.
I've actually never seen this. It's actually, it is very fun. It's very kind of kawaii vibes. Like I said, we have a brand called Goody Glass, which is kind of emulates a little bit of this, but yeah, no, this is, the issue with 3D printing stuff is it's not scalable.
Yeah, it is not.
That's the only
and
problem.
It melts in the sun. I found that out the hard way, leaving something in my car.
Yes. And also, you know, honestly, the materials they use in the 3D printers are not safe to really be consuming through. So that's another problem with it. I know there's like a couple companies that do like 3D printed filter tips and it's just not safe. Right. No. So I love the look of that brand. But, you know, again, you got to also keep in mind we're inhaling this stuff and we got to be cautious.
Very, very cool, man. Brian Gerber, founder of Hemper. We unfortunately have to stop, man. We're over time, but really appreciate your time. Super interesting. I don't know how you keep up with everything you do, my friend. Well done. Legitimately. Very excited to hopefully see you next year at our events, my friend. But until then, keep rocking it, and we'll see you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brian. Awesome. Javi, I mean, I'm more so just like in awe and blown away of everything that man does.
It's
and
like
Hemper
one
does.
Sleep, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I'm just sitting here. I'm like, is there? There's more. Oh, there's more. My God!
Like, I'm gonna say something that I shouldn't. But Elliot was in the chat, like, dude, how much can he do? Like, this is amazing. He is like, yeah. Dude, I really don't know which one to ask about first. It's like, you go. No, I go. No, you go.
Yeah. I'm just like, I mean, I don't know how you stay organized with all the CapEx, but he's doing it, and he's obviously he's making money, and he's making more money than most other people are right now.
A few million bongs a year.
That's yeah, 100 million pre-rolls a month. It's all good, all standard. So with that being said, you know, I mean, somebody, you know, that's not really in the corporate cannabis conversation, but like, I mean, they could be in any conversation. When it comes to cannabis. So very cool conversation. Thank you again to Brian for being here. That being said, we got to hop. Stay tuned for Money Mitch right here. Benzinga.com/cannabis for everything that Javi's team writes. It's amazing. Benzinga or bzcannabis.com. Sign up for our next event in Miami. Until then, y'all, have a great weekend.